Now this is recording. RTI
International
Center for
Forensic
Science
presents
Just Science.
Welcome to Just Science, a podcast for justice professionals and anyone interested in learning more about forensic science, innovative technology, current research, and actionable strategies to improve the criminal justice system. In episode 2 of our Applications of Forensic Science for Human Identification season, Just Science sat down with Brian Johnson, the Major Incident Program Manager in the Federal Bureau of Investigation's Latent Print Unit, to discuss how postmortem prints can be used to help identify unknown decedents. One of the cheapest, easiest, and fastest methods of identifying individuals is through friction ridge prints. However, challenges can arise in cases where trauma or decomposition affect the quality of a decedent's hands. Fortunately, there is a variety of techniques available that can facilitate the collection of high-quality postmortem prints if the hands still possess the necessary layers of skin. Listen along as Brian discusses the advantages of postmortem printing, why identification is accomplished by latent print examiners, and how friction ridge skin is formed. This episode is funded by the National Institute of Justice's Forensic Technology Center of Excellence. Some content in this podcast may be considered sensitive and may evoke emotional responses or may not be appropriate for younger audiences. Here's your host, Jacqueline McKay.
Hello, and welcome to Just Science. I'm your host, Jacqueline McKay, with the Forensic Technology Center of Excellence, a program of the National Institute of Justice. Today, we will be discussing how postmortem prints can be utilized to help identify unknown decedents. Here to guide us in our discussion is Brian Johnson. Welcome, Brian. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and your current role?
Yeah, so I'm the FBI's Major Incident Program Manager in the Latent Print Unit at the FBI Laboratory in Quantico. I've been doing that for the last about 14 years with the FBI. And I went to school in Honolulu, Hawaii at Chaminade University of Honolulu, and started as a forensic science major, not knowing exactly where I was going to land, and kind of worked my way through starting in death investigation and wanting to do crime scenes. And I got lucky and landed a honors internship with the FBI. So I went on that track and became a latent print examiner with the FBI. I did casework for about 7.5-8 years. And then I took over the FBI's disaster victim identification squads at that point. And I've been running that since 2015.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the role and the importance of postmortem printing within human identification?
Yeah, so postmortem printing refers to identifying deceased persons using their fingerprints traditionally, sometimes also their palm prints or their footprints. But it typically refers to identifying people who are unknown or may not be easily identifiable. And so it's one of the easiest and fastest ways to identify a decedent. A lot of people get fingerprinted throughout life, whether it's for a background check or a soccer coach or a daycare, or if they made some poor choices and maybe were arrested at some point in life, their fingerprints are taken. And it's one of the only things that is truly in a vast searchable database and databases, really. But there are lots of databases that maintain fingerprints. And even as technology grows, there's even more places to find those fingerprints. And so when we're trying to identify somebody scientifically, which is the proper way to identify a decedent forensically, you're really looking at fingerprints or dental exams or DNA. And dental and DNA, you kind of have to know who you're looking for in order to do that comparison. There is a DNA database, but most people aren't in it. And for dental, you literally have to go to that person's dentist and request their records. So fingerprints are just such an easy and clean way to make a forensic ID that can be completely unknown. You can search it through these giant databases and come up with an answer as to who the person is and give that family some closure.
Brian, could you describe for our audience what the FBI Disaster Victim Identification Squad is and how postmortem printing comes into play with mass fatality response?
Yeah, so as I stated in my background, in 2015, I took over coordinating the FBI's Disaster Victim Identification Squad. And that's primarily a subset of latent print examiners, but it can include DNA and anthropology folks as well. And we're basically a team that can deploy around the world. And what we do is we go in and assist medical examiners and coroners when, frankly, they're overwhelmed. There's no such thing as a recipe for a disaster. when it comes to mass fatalities. There's no number of fatalities. There's no specific location. Anytime the local jurisdiction is overwhelmed, we have the ability for free to deploy and help them. And there's a couple different agencies like DMORT, which is through DHHS, or some of the more local ones like FEMORS, which is the Florida version. But we essentially provide those identification services. And unlike maybe working on a single decedent, what ends up happening is we basically take all of the decedents into more of an assembly line processing. And we take each one through the different stages of identification, starting with intake and photography and fingerprints and dental and DNA and any kind of triage that we do along the way, and then ending with autopsy. And that both helps with the flow to make sure that those victims are all processed quickly and efficiently, but that all the scientific matters that need to be handled are handled as well. And so one of the things we do is we also tie in with Interpol. So I'm one of the two representatives for Interpol for the Disaster Victim Identification Group. So we work international events like the Ethiopia plane crash or the MH17 plane that was shot down over the Ukraine, at just as much as we would maybe something local like the Surfside building collapse that happened this past couple of years ago. And or, you know, all the way up to something like 9/11. So it can be a bus crash, something small. But what we do is we basically take all the techniques that we have and basically put them into play at once. Because when you have a mass fatality scene, something unfortunate like a shooting, you may not have a lot of trauma. So printing may be pretty easy. But if it's a crash of any kind or a large fire, then you have lots of different kinds of trauma. You have fragmentation, you have burning, you may have maceration from the firefighters' attempts to put it out, and decomposition, depending on how long it takes to recover the bodies. So when you get to that realm, you literally have to have all of the different postmortem techniques to be able to identify those decedents. And that's really what we're bringing to the table, is a ton of supplies, a ton of really eager folks who just want to help. And we help the local jurisdiction, and then we just go back to our day jobs. And so it's a really humbling and empowering thing to be a part of, to be a part of that team and that force multiplier for whoever needs it when they need it, so they don't feel like they're supposed to do it themselves and maybe don't have the capabilities or resources to do it properly.
Can you talk a little bit about why latent print examiners are working with postmortem prints as opposed to temprint examiners that are used to identify living persons?
Yeah, so like I said, I'm a latent print examiner by trade. I'm at the FBI laboratory, and we traditionally do latent print casework, where we receive evidence, we process it for latent prints, we find those chance and fragmentary small prints that are left behind on evidence that usually require some kind of chemical or visual light processing to enhance. And then we compare those to known records to try and identify people on the evidence. When a person is fingerprinted on purpose, you take a fully rolled fingerprint card, all 10 fingers from nail to nail, as much information as you can, and then you compare that to another fingerprint card with those same 10 fully rolled fingers. And that can be easily 1,500 to 2,000 pieces of information that are easy and a computer can do. It's called lights out ID. And you can get that lights out identification because there's so much information there. Latent prints may only have 7, 8, 9 pieces of information in them. They're often distorted, they're degraded, they're smeared. And so they require a different kind of training and different science algorithms, really, to make the matches in the system for a human to then make the final ID. When you're talking about postmortem prints, in general, postmortem printing of a person who died maybe recently or of natural causes is really no different than a 10 print. And a 10 print examiner can make that identification. But once you introduce things like trauma or decomposition or anything like that, where it's going to affect the quality of the hands, those prints oftentimes more mirror a latent print rather than a 10 print. And so there may only be one fingerprint that was obtainable from the decedent. There may only be one partial print for that decedent. And so the 10 print algorithm and the 10 print examiners are designed for 10 prints versus 10 prints. That's why I call it 10 prints. The latent print is used to looking at tiny pieces of single fingers and trying to find them in the vast databases of fingerprints. It doesn't have to be done by a latent print examiner, but it much more mirrors latent prints. And so that technology is much more available and much more accurate when a latent print search is used for those purposes.
I think that's a very valuable distinction to understand. With unidentified remains, The decedent's bodies can be in various stages of decomposition, as you've already spoken about with the various trauma. How often are you able to obtain high-quality postmortem prints from decedents?
Yeah, so my rule of thumb is if there's still skin on the hands, if the skin is still present, you can probably get a fingerprint off of it. Now, when we're talking about high-quality prints, that's a bit different. When a person dies and their body, you know, biology sets in, one of two things kind of happens. If the body is in a wet environment or water, the body macerates and turns into wet decomposition. Maybe the hands and the skin start sliding or sloughing off, and it gets difficult pretty quickly. The alternative is if there's no moisture and a lot of heat, then it would do what we call mummification, and that's where it hardens. And the outer layer may still degrade, but mummification is the alternative, of course, to maceration. And that doesn't account for anything like predation from critters or animals or the things that happen in nature, right? But the body is this super cool thing because it has these different layers of skin, and each one can stand up and is pretty resilient for a very long time. So I've been working recently on a plane crash recovery from Alaska, and we are identifying persons 70 years post-mortem. So 70 years after they died, we're still able to get usable fingerprints and make those identifications. It really comes down to how the body was preserved or not. But if there's still skin on the hands, you can usually get a print. The quality, of course, varies.
So along those same lines, are there any variables that would come into play to affect whether postmortem prints are no longer a viable option for identification?
Yeah, I think it does come down to the skin being present, of course. You can't get fingerprints if the skin isn't there. I'm pretty good, and my folks that work with me are really good, but if the hand is skeletonized, there's not much you can do to bring that back. But essentially, there's the three layers of skin. You have the outer epidermis, which is that outer layer of skin that if you look at your hand right now, that's what you're looking at, is the epidermis. And that goes away pretty quick, regardless of how you would decompose. But that under layer, that dermis, it really lasts a long time. So the things that are going to affect the ability to do it are going to be things like fire or long-term wet decomposition, where the skin would deteriorate and disappear very quickly. And then there's also the predation factor, because it's the longest point of the body. A lot of times that's where animals and things that may come across a body that isn't in the elements would start working on it. And so you can lose the hands and the feet fairly fast. But honestly, if the hands are still there, it may not be easy. It may not just be a matter of quickly printing it or putting it on a computerized live scan machine where we scan the fingerprints. That's likely going to happen. But with the right techniques, you can absolutely still get fingerprints.
Brian, you've already spoke about how postmortem prints may be used as opposed to other